Yotisamapita gyotis. Tamasa paramuchete. Gyanam geyam gyanagamyam. Kriti sarvasya vistitam. Yotisamapita gyotis. Tamasa paramuchyate. Gyanam geyam gyanagamyam. Kriti sarvasya vistitam.
Okay, so this the word by word translation.
Yotisam.
In all luminous objects.
Api.
Also.
Tat.
That.
Yotihi,
the source of life, sorry, or light.
Tamasaha, the darkness,
param,
beyond,
uchyate,
is said, jnanam,
knowledge,
jnayam,
to be known,
jnanagamyam,
to be approached by knowledge,
Kriri,
in the heart,
sarvasya,
of everyone,
vistitam, situated.
So translation on board by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
He is a source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge, he is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart.
So we'll repeat together.
He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart.
Purport. The Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of light in all luminous objects like the sun, moon, and stars. In the Vedic literature, we find that in the spiritual kingdom, there is no need of sun or moon, because the effulgence of the Supreme Lord is there. In the material world, that Brahmajyoti, the Lord's spiritual effulgence, is covered by the Mahat-Tattva, the material elements. Therefore, in this material world, we require the assistance of sun, moon, electricity, etc. for light. But in the spiritual world, there is no need of such things. It is clearly stated in the Vedic literature that because of his luminous effulgence, everything is illuminated. It is clear, therefore, that his situation is not in the material world. He is situated in the spiritual world, which is far, far away in the spiritual sky. That is also confirmed in the Vedic literature, Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. This is from Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.8. He is just like the sun, eternally luminous, but he is far, far beyond the darkness of this material world. His knowledge is transcendental. The Vedic literature confirms that Brahman is concentrated transcendental knowledge. To one who is anxious to be transferred to that spiritual world, knowledge is given by the Supreme Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart. One Vedic mantra from Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.18 says, Tam Hadevam Atma Buddhi Prakasam Mumuksur Vai Saranam Aham Prapadye. One must surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he at all wants liberation. As far as the goal of ultimate knowledge is concerned, it is also confirmed in Vedic literature, Tam eva vidi tuati mrityum eti. Only by knowing him Can one surpass the boundary of birth and death? Suttas Bhattacharya Upanishad 3.8. He is situated in everyone's heart as the Supreme Controller. The Supreme has legs and hands distributed everywhere, and this cannot be said of the individual soul. Therefore, that there are two knowers of the field of activity, the individual soul and the super soul, must be admitted. One's hands and legs are distributed locally, but Krishna's hands and legs are distributed everywhere. This is confirmed in the Swasbhattara Upanishad 3.17, Sarvasya Prabhum Isanam Sarvasya Saranam Brihat. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Super Soul, is the Prabhu or Master of all living entities. Therefore, He is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. So there is no denying the fact that the Supreme Super Soul and individual soul are always different. Translation again. And the verse again also in Sanskrit. Yotisam apitak yotis tamasa paramuchyate gyanam gyeyam gyanagamyam hridi sarvasya vistitam. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge, he is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. You have any question? Just to start with. His knowledge is saying, in the purport, in the translation, his knowledge, and is unmanifested. Oh, you are asking in Sanskrit, where is unmanifested? Oh, I see, okay, sorry, I couldn't understand what you said. Beyond the darkness, is tamasa param, beyond, and this is Prabhupada, it looks like it's not explicitly directly in the Sanskrit there, seems to me, unmanifested. It is not that Prabhupada is making it up. He's just clarifying, he's a source of light, yotisam, in all luminous objects, yotisam. Yoti is the source of light. He's beyond the darkness of matter. Tamasa, the darkness. Param is beyond the darkness of matter. Why is that? Because we are placed on the Brahmajyoti, isn't it? You know Brahmajyoti? It is said that the sun is the source of light in the universe, isn't it? We see because the sun is there, isn't it? Otherwise there is darkness. So the sun is getting the energy from the Brahmajyoti, which the Brahmajyoti is the fulgence of the body of the Lord. Because he is a fulgent personality, you know? And that's why in the spiritual world there is no need for sun or moon or electricity, because everything is full of light. Everything there is effulgent, emanates light, you know. But in this world, it is not like that. It is dark. So we need sun, we need, because otherwise it's very dark. We cannot see anything. So we depend on Krishna's energies, we can see actually that unless the Krishna makes these arrangements, so we are completely, we cannot function. So, the moon gets the light from the sun, it's a reflection, isn't it?
as I explained. And then the sun gets the light from the source of is the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma Jyoti is sustaining everything. It's sustaining all the planets. Be everywhere there is this rays, but we don't see because of matter. Matter is on the way, you know. So it's like a cloud, some kind of thing, you know. And a cloud, you is placed on the sunlight, but it's obscured the sunlight. So we are this material, this matter. Is one of the energies of Krishna, so we are confined in this universe, is there inside these different eggs floating in an ocean. There are many millions and millions of universes. So for the souls who wanted to enjoy, we come here. You know, but really, no, there is not much enjoyment. But the illusion is there. It looks like we are enjoying, you know? But that is called Maya, because unless Krishna is there, it's not real happiness, you know. So that's the first part of the source of light in all luminous objects. The stars, the moon, and even the sun, which is the original light in the universe, comes from the body of Krishna. So there are many suns in many universes. One sun in each one, one sun in each universe. And he's beyond matter and isn't manifested. That means that we cannot see with our present eyes, because our present eyes are not spiritual eyes. They become spiritual eyes by practice of bhakti, but now they are. We cannot see that, maybe, or maybe some of you they can see, but in a conditioned state, the soul is not able to perceive the Lord. Is called, how is it called? Beyond the senses, isn't it? Adoksaja, he is beyond the perception of the senses. Also, it's aparuseya, you know. Aparuseya means also another word. So, means that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the right word. Is adoksaja is what he said. Adoksaja means that he's beyond this matter, you know. The Lord can appear; he's everywhere, but we don't see him. Like we don't see the sun, the radio waves or the TV waves, but they're passing here, and, you know, and mobile phones, and, but they're, but we don't see, because it's subtle, it's very subtle. So this is what he's saying here, and it is a manifesto, because you cannot see. You know, the Lord is in the heart, but, well, I don't see it. So it's adoksaja. And his knowledge, he's the object of knowledge, and he's the goal of knowledge. We have the previous verses, 8 to 12, they describe the process to get out of the entanglement of this world. And the Lord says, beyond this, everything else is ignorance, it's not knowledge. So it's described how to get out of this by developing a manitvam, adambitvam, means humility and pridelessness, first item. Ahimsa, non-violence, you know, tolerance, is that? Kshantir, simplicity, arjavam, approaching modern finds the spiritual master, which is the main. If you can do that, approach a guru and not offend him, and serve him, and inquire from him in a good mood of submissiveness and trying to understand what he says.
So then all the other items come automatically. You know? And then cleanliness, what is that called? This Acharya Upasanam is approaching one of our spiritual master. Acharya Guru, many times is the same thing referred. Guru must preach. How preaching? By example. How, what Bhaktisiddhanta said once, oh, I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta, that he said that we behave. How is that? No. So that is the main thing, you know, to become a teacher by your actions and your behavior, by developing these qualities, by being truthful, by being humble, by being pridelessness, etc. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said something else. I was looking for that quote. He said something that we preach all the time being silent, and sometimes we speak or something like that, you know? Meaning that preaching is not just blah, blah, blah. Preaching is applying that to you, you know? To you, to your actions, to, you know, reflecting, so on. That is the process of knowledge. Verses 8 to 12. And before that, we have what is that? The elements of this world. The field of activities, you know? It means water, fire, ether, air, the ego, the intelligence, the mind, the objects of the senses, life symptoms, happiness, things like that. Field of activities and its interactions. So, his knowledge, you know what the Veda says? What the Veda says? There is this verse, 15:15, isn't it? He's the by all the Vedas I am to be known. So Vedas means knowledge. This is the meaning of Vedas, means knowledge. There's that verse. Sarvasya chaham hridi sanivesto mata smritim gyata smritir gyanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham gyanam. Vedais. Vedais cha sarvair, aham eva vedyo, vedyaha, knowable, vedyo. Vedais cha sarvair. All the Vedas, vedais, I am to be known, aham eva vedyo. So, actually, there is nothing else but Krishna. There is no... He is the object of knowledge. Means that once you, like Bhaktivedanta Swami, who came, founded ISKCON, is Bhaktivedanta Swami, it's Bhaktivedanta, no? Bhakti, the end of knowledge. Anta and Veda. Veda means knowledge, Anta is the end of knowledge. What is the end of knowledge? Like you have all the four Vedas, which were originally one Veda. We're subdivided into four, the Rig, the Sama, the Yajurveda, and the Atharvaveda. Different, there's so much knowledge about many things, you know, and then in the last part of the Vedas, the Upasana Kanda, is one section there, and is explained, the Upanishads, also called Upanishads. So these Upanishads are mainly concerned, because the Vedas mainly deal with how to obtain material goods, you know? How you get a good wife or money or things like that, you know? Or a good progeny or, you know, things that people may desire, you know? Or to become, to develop charisma or things like that, you know? But then you have the Upanishads, the Upasana Kanda. The Brahmanas or Samhitas is the
the text itself in Sanskrit, like we have here, there is, and then you have, this is a, the Karma Kanda, it's like biggest portion, you know, biggest portion of the Vedas, how to worship the demigods and offer sacrifices. They have like an arena, and they offer different fires, procedure, how to do it, and they chant different hymns. They used to, thousands of years ago, they used to chant. They follow. And then they get the benefit. Oh, yeah, quickly. Oh, we need rain, and there is rain. Oh, we need this, and this happened to me. Oh, yeah, it works. So there must be true that there is such a person, that there's Indra there, one planet, or Surya, the sun planet, like that. So you develop faith, you know. It's the Karma Kanda. And then by doing that, then you come to a higher understanding, you know, that, for example, the Upanishads relate stories like Swetaketu. Swetaketu is one person, one boy, who goes to, follows the orders of his father, says who sends him to, he says, you go to the Gurukul and you learn the Vedas. You learn all this Rig, Sama, Veda, Yajur. So he stays 12 years and 24 years old, come back, and ask his father, ask him, okay, you know, what do you know? And then he explains, you know, he's very proud, you know, he explains all these Vedas. He has so much knowledge reciting these Vedas. And then his father said, yes, but you are very proud, you are very puffed up with this knowledge. Do you know the knowledge that explains something that once you know that, you know everything? That, like the clay is, once you know the clay, you know everything else that is made with clay. You know, or once you know copper, you know all the objects, rings, or objects made with copper. So what is that, that by knowing that you know everything else? And then he says, Tattvamasi. This is in the Upanishads. I think it's Chandogya Upanishad. He says, that is Brahman. Brahman. This is what we're dealing here also. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So this energy that sustains everything. Actually, the essence of every one of us, the father of Swetaketu explains to him, that is Brahman. You know? Like if you boil down of the essence of your essence, or the essence or of everything, that is Brahman. That substance, original substance. You know, there are some examples now, I cannot remember exactly. But that is like that. So the Upanishads deal mainly with Brahman. Of course, then, once you know the knowledge of bhakti, then you can actually see there are different readings of the Upanishads. You have also a devotional reading of the Upanishads, you know. But, yes, I was explaining this for some reason, so I don't remember now. Bhaktivedanta, thank you. So that is the idea. That Vedanta mainly deals with that Brahman, you know, Advaita Vedanta. So of course you have Dvaita. Dvaita is what we're doing here, Madhvacharya. But the idea is that, to make it simple, that the knowledge is given in a kind of a gradation, so we can be elevated gradually, you know. Of course Prabhupada is giving everything, like take it, you know, very clearly explained, simple. But in history, if we analyze what happened, so it was given like that, you know. First the Karma Kanda, sacrifices to the gods, and this the Upasana Kanda. In this way, the knowledge is given in different aspects of the Supreme, because Krishna is one. Krishna is one. It's like the sun. Sun is one. I mean, the sun and the sun rays. You can analyze, okay, this is the sun rays. You can see through the window, and then you see the sun in the distance, the sky. Or you may not see because there is a cloud there. but it's still the sun rays. There's one aspect. Second aspect is the sun ray, and then we also say that there are sun god. There is sun god there, the planet with a fit body, fiery body, etc. So in the same way, this Krishna, God, has different aspects: the person himself, the rays that emanate from him, light, spiritual effulgence, and then you have in everyone's heart also, you know, in everyone's heart, he is with us, he is never away from us. So that's, it's maybe difficult to understand how is it that Krishna is in our heart, so he's unmanifested. So it's the goal of knowledge. Once you reach the summum of all knowledge, that's Krishna. And they have also in chapter 15 also is described. I have no time now, but I explain how there is one banyan tree. Is this world is compared with a banyan tree which is upside down. And it's very difficult to get out, it's very entangling and so many branches and twigs, and so because of material desire. So we here in this material world like that, in this situation. So we have to revert and go to the original tree there in the spiritual world. So for that we need knowledge. So of course there is so much, I mean theologically speaking or philosophically speaking, we have so much substance here to talk about. And basically I think I'm going to end up here because it's almost just 3 minutes. Any questions or anything you'd like to ask? Yeah, he is manifested. But do you see him? Yeah. Yes. Here we're dealing with super soul. And Brahman also. So in this case, it is true. That is matter, isn't it? It is explained here in the Bhagavad Gita and things in the previous initial chapters. But the Eucharist in itself, the spiritual energy of the Lord, not the material separated energy, but the Lord is three substances. It's Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, right? So this, if you are in that level that you can see the Lord, isn't it? Can you see? So the four is not manifested yet. That's why it says it's beyond the darkness of matter, isn't it? Is that the right understanding? Am I right or not? He's beyond the darkness of matter. He's beyond the darkness. So we are in darkness, therefore, because we don't see him. Therefore, he's unmanifested. Yeah. Also, it is true that the universes are created, manifested, and then unmanifested. Are regular, isn't it? Regular. Cyclic cycles. So, therefore, that is like that. It becomes alternatively manifested and unmanifested, you know? Like that. So, that is how it is explained in the scriptures. No, this is. We have to maybe double check in depth, but it's a bit confusing actually, maybe, yeah. It is possible. Yes, once you have this verse, isn't it, Bilochanena, isn't it, this verse that when you have with your eyes, with a, anointed with the love, you know, in your eyes, then you can see, because he's not going to allow to, because if you're not pure, he's protecting himself, you know. He will manifest, like Narada Muni, the famous example, you know, the Lord appears, but then he says, because you need to hunker for me, so I will, in this life, I won't manifest again to you. So, but then Narada Muni, once he saw him, the Lord, you imagine, you know, you see Krishna, and he's like, he was all his life, you know, just really, really focused on spiritual life and doing his best. So in the same way, but yes, you can see, of course you can see the Lord. Now the question is, you know, this is the items of knowledge. Am I humble? So we need to develop. And Prabhupada said so much emphasis on seeing. You know, I want to see. You know, I want to enjoy the Lord through my eyes. You know, but it's better maybe that He wants to see us. This is the point. And also to hear. You know. Now it's time, I need to finish, sorry. It's that, you know, being attentive, because this is knowledge. This is the Lord speaking, so he's revealing himself, so it's better to pay attention to what he says. So he is all, this is like we have in philosophy, in traditional Indian, there are six systems of philosophy called darshans. You know, darshans is like vision or point of view. You can see the world as Vaisheshika, is atomistic theory. Like everything is made of atoms, and then it's explained that everything is, all those atoms are controlled by Krishna, by God, actually, like that. And then you have different darshans. So those darshans, this is Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Yoga, Sankhya, and Vedanta, and Mimamsa. And then those darshans is point of view, how you see. But you need to hear. In order to see, you need to hear. So transcendental knowledge that goes to the heart and purifies the heart. Because if nobody is telling you that he is in everyone's heart and is giving you all this information, then how are you going to able to see him first, you know? You need to be able to accept submissively like that. This is how I see. I don't know. Maybe you have something to add, some question or some criticism. And that's the idea, basically. So we have wonderful knowledge, and now it's time to hear bhajans. Thank you. Hare Krishna.